Book of Colossians. Pastor Quarles took Colossians 1:1-10 last time, and more or less, taught it like preaching and so on. There wasn't a discussion, so let's discuss this. So it's Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, if we can, from Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and grace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's one more. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. All right, where was Paul when he wrote Colossians? In prison. What city? In Rome, way over in Rome, okay. And Colossae, Ephesus is here, right here. Colossians is right close by. Colossae is right here. So Ephesus here, Colossae over here. They're very close. And that's in the Asia Minor and in Asia. And he wrote to Colossians while he was in prison in Rome. They're very close, Ephesus and Colossians, very similar, that they have a different content. Who does it say is the author or the writer of this letter? Paul. And what was his title here? What does apostle mean? What is that? Selected by the Lord. Or anything? Selected by the Lord. Pardon me? What is it? Messenger of God? Yes, ma'am. Okay, the cast. One seen Christ, usually, but the literal apostle means what? The sent one. Apo is away, and stelos to send. To send away, or send out, send forth. See, it's an apostle. But one sent, and how many apostles did the Lord Jesus choose? How many was the devil?
One.
Who was that? Judas, who's the devil. All right. And, yes, fine. No, he said the different ordinances of the church. The ordinances of the church are taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, practiced by the apostles, and taught in the epistles. That's an ordinance. And therefore, we throw out foot washing, because that was practiced by the apostles, taught by the, but not in the epistles. And we throw out the other doctrine. We throw out certainly the last unction, like the Roman Catholic allowed it, because it's not even taught in anywhere. So, but that's what he said about that. But the apostles, now, when Judas died, it says two different ways, seemingly two contradictory ways he died. What's one way? He hanged himself. What's the other way?
Betrayed.
What is it?
Betrayed.
Well, he betrayed the Lord, but I mean how he died, see?
Suicide.
A suicide, that's true, but the method?
They fell down
and they picked him up. So both of these, when he hanged himself, when they cut him down, then he did fall. So you see, it's not contradictory. It goes along with the way he died. So he hanged himself, and then they picked him up because he fell down after they cut him down. He fell on the ground. So now, who took the place of Judas, the traitor? What are two different schools of thought? What is the two schools of thought on that?
Matthias
is one school of thought. Took the place of Judas, was the 12th apostle.
Saul
of Paul. Which do you think is the better of the two choices?
Paul.
Why?
Paul just he spread out the gospel.
Paul spread the gospel. He really acted like one. All right. And he held other. Tammy?
Well, he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus.
All right.
And he was specifically called.
Specifically called by the Lord. Therefore, he was selected, wasn't he? By the Lord. Who selected Matthias?
The apostles.
Well, they prayed whether either of them should be selected, and they were given that Matthias should be.
All right.
So it seems to me that they could have received the message that no, don't take either of them. But I think if they were listening to the Holy Spirit, which I think was strong and evident at that time, that they did what God wanted them.
Uh-huh. So they had an election. And they had just two choices, and a lot. They just by chance, they picked this and picked that. But the Lord Jesus, did he choose either of these two, Matthias or the other one?
No.
Did he select either one?
He selected Paul,
but not Matthias or the other one. The other man, I forget the name of the other man. Thaddeus, was it?
Barsabas.
Okay, and thank you.
And the next one, which
is it chapter 1?
Yeah.
Habakkuk chapter 2.
Joseph
Barsabbas.
Yeah, who was surnamed Justice.
Justice.
And Matthias.
Matthias. Thank you, Anna. Well, that's chapter 1. What were the specific orders of the Lord Jesus before he went to heaven and ascended to heaven? What did he say for these disciples to do?
Tarry in Jerusalem
until when?
The Holy Spirit,
till you be endued by power from on high, the Holy Spirit descended. Now, in chapter 1, had the Holy Spirit descended yet?
No.
What chapter did the Holy Spirit descend in?
Second
chapter. So you see, instead of waiting until the Holy Spirit came, they held an election. See, that's why I just don't think that Matthias has any place at all. But some of our friends that attend our church years ago, I used to say, Paul, and one of the persons said, I think Matthias, you know, so there's your argument. See, so I don't take a dogmatic position, but I think very strongly, Paul, he calls himself an apostle, does he not? I mean, and the Lord called him, and the Lord called the other 12. Why didn't he pick the one that the Lord Jesus called, not the one that man chose out of two? As Jonathan said, could be neither of these two. Yeah, Bob?
Dr. Wickham
does, yeah.
He went to that meeting, he said.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, Jonathan.
In one sense, the group of the original, Jesus and the original 12 is 13.
Uh-huh.
So it really kind of turned the group back into the original 13, in one sense.
Yeah.
And Paul did seek to be the head above all.
Yeah.
So
he, in verse number 1, the writer being Paul, that they call the apostle. Now, what does it mean, apostle of Jesus Christ? Why the of? What's the of mean here, of Christ?
Belong to.
Belong to? What else? That's right.
What did it say for?
It's one sent forth.
Yes,
right? Well, it is a messenger. It is a messenger. Apostle is a messenger, but he's one sent forth. Apostle is sent, one sent forth by someone. Yes. What is it?
Sent by Jesus Christ.
That's right. Anna?
Well,
I forgot, Anna, before you talk, questions at bftbc.org. If you have a comment, call us and say hello to every one of us, or simply call us, 856-261-9018. Okay, Anna?
Is it angel that means messenger?
Yeah, angelos. That means messenger. That's good, Anna. Angelos, angelo means as a messenger. That's correct.
Thank you.
Sometimes those angels or angelos are messengers, human messengers. Sometimes they're divine messengers. Depends on what, how it's used in the context. Like the angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel, I think, a messenger, I think that's a pastor, human messenger, and sometimes their angel, actually a heavenly messenger. Yes, Jonathan?
I believe somewhere in the New Testament it says that the apostles had special gifts or special sign miracles.
Yes.
Sign gifts that brought the attention to them. Now, of course, yes. Paul had that.
Yes.
But there's no indication that Matthias was ever mentioned again.
No, we didn't mention it. That was the end of it, see? And as you say, the sign gives in Matthew. We're reading the book of Matthew now. And it says that he sent forth these 12, gave them special gifts, healing of them, miracles, and blind or healed, and different things. Some he raised from the dead. So, but those apostolic signs, we don't believe are here with us today. We believe that since when the Bible is completed, the signs have stopped. We don't need any more signs. We've got the Bible, the words of God. So, give us a call. Those who want a comment or question, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. So now, he's apostle of Jesus Christ, in other words, particularly sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Dan?
I have a maintenance question here as far as the location of last week's meetings. Somebody from
the fourth state.
Is Delaware the fourth state? Maryland the fourth state? I don't know who the fourth state is.
Well, anyway, the question is, where can they find the media for the last week's meetings?
Okay.
First of all,
is New Jersey the fourth state?
New Jersey's the third state.
Well, who's the fourth state?
Delaware's the first state, Pennsylvania's the second state, New Jersey's the third state, and this is south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Georgia?
Okay, Georgia, thank you.
Yeah.
Fourth state of Georgia. Okay, back to Mr. Williams. Okay, the media has not yet been entered for last week's message, as far as this, here at this church, you mean?
Last
Sunday at Greenville.
Last in Greenville.
Oh, okay.
Last week, meaning Saturday. And
Sunday, oh, okay. The last week in Greenville. All right, that's a different question.
Red box, the right of the red box, there's a word that said listen live.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they've been changed now.
No, I haven't changed it. I haven't changed it.
But anyway, if you put in that word listen live or view live, and that should take you to the media.
All right.
And there may be one or two other ways of getting there, but that's the best way.
The best way is go to BibleForToday.org, click on the red box, and listen live. Click on there.
Beside the red box.
Beside, to the right of the red box, yes.
Say, listen live.
Right, to the right of the red box.
Click on those words.
Then you'll have...
If you want to send a link to somebody, you right-click on it, you see left. You copy the link location, you email it to somebody else.
Email
it
to someone else if you wish.
If you want to listen to it, click on that, and you listen to all the sermons. If you want to advance to the next one, you have to hit the next key on your media player.
All right, so on that, to the right of the red box, listen live, you have five messages from the Saturday meetings. Pastor Rainey first, and I'll be second, third, fourth, and fifth. I'm teaching about that. Then the keep on going on the sixth one is Dan teaching the Sunday school class on Sunday morning. And then secondly, after that, it'll be Dr. Williams. Then I'm in the evening service. So we got eight messages, one right after another. Next, you want to go. Eight messages on the red box, to the right of the red box. All right. Thank you for that question. If you have any questions, questions at bftbc.org or call us at 856-261-9018. Yvonne?
How could Jersey be the fourth state when it's so far from all the rest of us?
There was original 13 colonies, but they, when they...
It's the order in which they ratified the Constitution.
The order?
You essentially had them 13 states real quick. The first state, Delaware is responsible for the first state because it was its sign in the bottom line first.
All right.
Followed by Pennsylvania, then New Jersey, then Georgia.
Then what's next?
Well,
Rhode Island's the 13th.
We'll begin signing like to some messages in the chaplaincy at the Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Texas, where some of these modernist preachers preached actually little known facts about the pilgrims. That was his title.
Chaplain Carter.
Chaplain Carter. It has nothing to do with the Bible. That little, you know, it's an interesting topic, but we don't want to stay too long on the first, second, third, fourth.
Sorry,
second.
We're just trying to identify.
Well, I had to figure out Georgia because I want to know who it is. See, it's not enough for me to have first state, second state, third state. I'm a little bit stupid on the history of our United States of America. I have to have Anna and Tammy to keep me abreast of things, and Dan as well. All right, so Apostle of Jesus Christ, what does that signify? Oh.
From,
all right.
Guard, or is it
in other words, if he sent forth, who sent him forth?
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, very important. See, when people are sent forth, for instance, from this country, when people are sent forth from this country to overseas, what do you call those people?
Missionaries.
Ambassadors. Well, ambassadors are sent forth. And if people are sent forth from a church, sometimes they're missionaries. What's that?
Well, okay, missionaries.
Yeah, no, but for a church. But I'm talking for our country as official representatives. What are they called again? They're ambassadors. So we have ambassadors from different countries of the world. And so Paul was sent forth as an ambassador sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically told. In fact, in Acts 26, keep your place here. Let's see what God, the Lord Jesus Christ, told Paul that he was to do. Someone read that. Find it. Acts 26. Verse number 14, along in there, 15. I am Jesus Christ. Stand on my feet. Verse 16. Verse 16. Read 16, 17, and 18, please.
But rise and stand upon my feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Well, that's a clear sending from the Lord Jesus himself to do these various things and to preach and be an apostle sent forth of Jesus Christ. What does this next phrase mean? By the will of God. How does that fit into the thing?
It was God's will that he should be Christ's apostle.
All right, God's will, he should be Christ's apostle, and they should be sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who else, in addition to Paul, the writer, was with him as he was writing to the church of Colossae from prison?
Timothy.
Who else was with him in verse 1?
Timothy.
Timothy, all right. Timotheus and Timothy. Our brother, meaning what? Physically related?
No.
Part of the church of God, part of the saved. He's a Christian, brother in Christ. All right, and then in verse number 2, yes, John?
It's interesting to me that this letter is for Paul and Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it says the writers are Tychicus and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like Paul and Timothy both had portions of this, and maybe the one scribe wrote from one and the other scribe wrote from the other, and they're kind of put together.
Well,
we don't know. I mean,
it's it was sent by them to Colossae.
Yeah, I don't have this colophon in my Bible. What does it say in the colophon of the defined?
You don't have the colophon.
No, go ahead.
It says, written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus.
Right. I believe that the by would be, in other words, delivered by, sent by. In other words, Paul didn't go out of the prison and deliver it, nor did Timothy. I think, in other words, delivered by them.
Oh, but it says written by.
Well, and written from where?
It says written by Onesimus.
No, written from where? What? Read that example.
Written
from Rome. Written from Rome to Colossae.
Colossians.
All right. Colossians.
By.
Oh, okay.
By. See, written. In other words, just delivered by. See, I think in that sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, why was Timothy there? What was he doing in Rome? What was Timothy doing in Rome?
Visiting
Paul. Was it?
Visiting Paul.
He's very close to Paul. Where does Timothy come into the Book of Acts for the first time? Chapter what?
17 or something?
I think it's 16. Take a look and see. See if it's 16. And from that time, Timothy followed. See if it's 16. It seems like it's 16, but let's take a look.
Yeah.
16? Okay. What verse, honey?
Verse 1.
Okay. So Timothy joined, and he's with Paul this time. So he was close to Paul. Paul was his teacher. And what did Timothy finally become?
Pastor
of what church? The Church of Ephesus, that's right. Pastor of the Church of Ephesus. So right here is Ephesus. And he's right in Colossae. It's very close. Colossae and Ephesus. Colossae and Ephesus. Timothy was a yoke fellow with Paul, the teacher. All right, in verse number 2, who does Paul write to here? Two classes of people. First what?
Saints.
Secondly? Faithful brethren in Christ. All right, which are in Colossae. What is a saint? We've mentioned this many times. That's Roman Catholic saints?
A believer.
A believer? Saved person is a saint. The saints that are saved and born again. Why do the Roman Catholics insist that their saints are the only saints that there are?
Because they're wrong.
Yeah, because they're wrong.
They have a works-based salvation.
Works-based salvation. What does it would need to be happening before a Roman Catholic saint can become a saint? What are the requirements?
That
preserve miracles. And usually what else?
Canonized.
What?
Canonized.
Well, that's canonized, but what are the requirements? What are the requirements?
Haven't performed miracles in their life.
Miracles? But there's another requirement.
Dead.
Oh, they have to be dead. All right, that's what I was looking for.
Dead.
Have to be. Usually they die. Now, are any of the saints? I'm not familiar with all the saints of Rome. Were there any saints made while they were still alive? I don't know that there are. I think it's supposed to be dead first. Now,
it seems like in verse 2 here, it seems like these people are alive.
These people are alive. That's right.
How many of the people that are
that's right. So the biblical saints can be alive, yes. We got some people in this room that are alive too. Yes, Anna?
No.
Go ahead.
Then they never died, so.
Yeah, Enoch and Elijah, saints of the Old Testament saints, all right.
But why didn't Saint never mind? All
right.
They don't meet that requirement.
So, the saints are saved people. What does it need? What are the requirements of becoming a New Testament saint, scripturally?
Believe
in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be saved. Genuine faith, transformation, being born again, then we become a saint. Now, when you think of the word saint, You think of St. Nicholas. Was he a saint? It's biblically, we don't. That's just a fable, isn't it? St. Nicholas. All these other saints. And St. Aloysius. And who's the saint that you put on the dashboard dolly for traffic? St. Christopher. See? But all these saints are promoted by men. And they're trying to get the former pope to be a saint. I don't know whether they succeeded or not. Haven't yet. But the different ones, the miracle first, had to die first, and then they had to be canonized by the church. Yes, Christy?
During Vatican Council, this is, 1968, a lot of the saints that were in the Catholic Church were sanctified, meaning that they were really not saints, and that just created a huge uproar. Mm-hmm. But I think they still held to that.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that people who have been praying to so-called saints for special favors and things of that nature in the Catholic Church, when that's taken away and that person is no longer a saint, I don't know exactly how that has split the church up in certain things as far as that reasoning. Mm-hmm. But the church holds a very firm guideline on establishing anyone as a saint.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very rigorous process, and it takes years. The most recent saint was Mother Catherine Drexel, mm-hmm. who was a nun that founded the Sacred Heart Order. And she basically was just canonized as a saint, was it 5 years ago or 6 years ago? Do you remember that?
No.
So.
Well, that's interesting. But how long does it take a biblical saint to become a saint? Years and years?
Second,
just like that. We're born again by faith in Christ immediately upon genuine faith, not just to the head, but the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so he's writing to the saints. Who else is Paul writing to? What's his other group mean?
Faithful brethren.
First of all, the brethren. What does that signify? Then we get to the faithful next. What does the brethren mean? Followers? Only followers? Brethren.
Fellow
saints. It includes the sisters, but brethren generally in Scripture means both of them. Is that
a canon? They have the same father.
Same father.
God in heaven
is their father, the Lord Jesus is their brother, so they're brethren. And that's it. Now, this idea of faithful, what does that imply?
They were
obedient. Obedient? Yes, Cass?
What would the saints and the faithful brethren be one of the same?
Well,
there are differences because one is more faithful.
Well, let's just think about it now. Would all saints necessarily be faithful brethren? I wish they would. I wish they would be. I wish that every saved, born again, redeemed child of God would be faithful to the Lord. But apparently,
it's possible maybe if they're faithful brethren in Christ, in this context, they might be the same person. Maybe, I mean, you have two words, Joe Mackay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have a definite article. I'm not sure. I forget how the rules work.
Mm-hmm.
But if that rule applies to this or not.
All right, one of the meanings of Greek word kai, and, can also mean even. So it could be a parallel. The saints, even, faithful brethren, see what I mean? It could be even. In other words, or it could be and as a separation. Either one. Either one is correct, name. That's right. Either one can be interpreted as kai in the middle of that. But if they're separated, certainly, but faithful brethren in Christ, we have to be. And what does it take to be faithful? How do you go about that? First of all, do you want to be faithful? Do I want to be faithful? Do all the saints, the Lord Jesus Christ, genuine believers, do they all want to be faithful, or don't you know?
If they're a genuine believer, they would want to be faithful.
Well, they would want to, but I'm asking the question, do they all want to be? They should. Well, why is it? Why are some Christians saved, born again, if they don't care about being faithful? What's wrong with that?
Impressed in the mold of the world?
Careless?
All right.
Stop reading the scriptures and stuff on it.
Yeah, just sort of
kind of fade away for a while.
Fade away and sort of.
That kind of.
Yes, Bill.
If that's the case, then you have to wonder: were they ever really saved?
Well, that's a good question, Bill. Are they really saved? If they're not interested in being faithful, Jonathan?
I did an interesting little word study this week on faith and faithful. As in Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing it online, and I couldn't really find the pages exactly I was looking for. But one interesting thing it brought out in Greek and English and Latin and German is different words, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Greek, I forget which it is. I think it's Greek and Latin have one word for faith and faithful, and German and English has two words for faith and faithful.
Mm-hmm.
But the Greek has one. So whether it's and they said in Martin Luther's writings, it's not distinguished well whether it's faith or faithful, or sometimes mm-hmm. it can mean one or the other. So I think sometimes we get into a conflict or controversy about is it faith or is it faithful? In other words, is it works or is it mental? And I think my understanding is, if we have the faith, if we have the understanding, if we have the right heart, then we'll do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. We hope that's the case, absolutely.
Think, wasn't Luther looking at the Greek or is he looking at the Latin?
Luther was looking at Greek or Latin?
He was looking at the Latin and then saw the Greek.
But Luther's German Testament was based upon the Text Receptus, which is very good. The present Lutheran Bibles, however, have departed from the critical text. But the original Luther was a student of Erasmus, and a good Greek student he was, so he knew that. Questions at bftbc.org. If you have a comment or question, what do you people out there listening to us think? Is saints and faithful brethren one and the same, or should there be a distinction? And should all Christians be faithful? And if they're not wanting to be faithful, why not? And are they saved or lost? Are they carnal Christians saved, or are they lost people never been born again? 856-261-9018. Questions at bftbc.org. Give us a call. So notice he says that faithful saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, as we said, that's the place in Asia Minor, they have the greeting. The greeting is just two things here. What are the two things in the greeting?
Grace
and peace. Okay. What's the grace mean? Grace. That's one of how they address their letters. What does grace mean?
Getting something that you don't deserve.
Getting something you don't deserve. And what is mercy? Or peace, excuse me, peace. What is peace?
The tranquil state of the soul.
Tranquil state of soul. Redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that?
Yeah,
content with this earth and out of whatever sort it is. Whether Norma's no car or Norma's got a car. Is that right, Norma? She's glad she got a car. That was Norma Carter. That didn't have a car. Her car broke down for months and months. She had to take buses everywhere. She went to North Dakota. And just yesterday, she called me. She said, someone knocked on my door, gave me some keys to a new 1998, I think it was, car with a gasoline full tank. The man gave it to her. That was his second car. He got a new car. And his wife said, give it to someone that can appreciate it. Getting something, with peaceful state of a soul.
Tranquil state
of a soul. Dan, this thing just went blank. You want to check it, maybe? Okay. I don't know what's wrong with it, but maybe it needs to be.
Somebody if they can hear us and see us. That's somebody phone in real quick.
Okay. Give us a call. See if you can hear it. See if it's going through. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-826-1918. Okay, it's right there. Thank you, Anna. It just needed to be wiggled a little bit. All right. Yes, to Jonathan.
I think the call also here means peace. Peace with God, not just being at peace.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not doing right, but I don't care.
Yes.
You know, not just in a state of mind of not caring, but
yeah.
Peace with, in harmony with God.
Right, harmony with the God.
And then take it, whatever the world can bring, just being at peace with them.
Right. Certainly a drunk or some other wicked, wicked sinner could just be peaceful. He doesn't care. He's just wiped out. But this is not the kind of peace. It's related to the Lord, isn't it? Related to the Lord. So peace. Anna?
Well, I think somebody noted on our Karen Rumble who made this notation. But I remember hearing someone say that grace was what the Greeks used to greet each other, and peace was what the Jews used.
That's very good. Someone did say that. Grace, which is charis in Greek, That's the Greek greeting. Peace, that's shalom. That's the Hebrew greeting. That's absolutely right, Anna. All right. So this is, you got both the saints and faithful brethren, Jews and Gentiles, grace be unto you and peace. From whom? From whom?
God
our Father and
the Lord Jesus Christ.
What does these last two clauses or phrases, what does it do in regard to yoking up Father and Son?
One and the same.
One and as far as of equal quality, it's all. Now, they're different persons, but in the same Godhead. Both are deity. Who's the third person of the deity? God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. So, this right here, yes, Anna?
We have a comment from the second state of the union.
Pennsylvania, thank you, Bill. Pennsylvania, okay, Julie, what you got to say?
Hello. It's good to see everyone there. So he was just saying hello.
Well, thank you, Julie. Anyone else, just say hello. Give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. Love to hear from you. Thank you, Julie. So look alive and listen and talk. So now the deists and the Unitarians, what do they think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Unitarians.
Not God.
Not God, just a man. You see, but if you have the yoking between God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that and there is... It's a union. They're both are deity, both persons of the Godhead, and three persons, but one God. There's a triunity, three in one, one in three. The one in the middle died for me. That's what some have said. One in three, three in one, one in the middle. So they're yoking up the perfect deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ come from?
He always was.
Always was. And where was he before he came here? In heaven, or with the Father. So they were co-eternal. Co-equal, co-powerful, co-extensive. These are the very part of the person and work of the Godhead. Very important. So then in verse number 3, Paul's heart comes out and his what he's thinking about. What is his mindset here? What is this in his heart? What is he doing? He's thankful. We give thanks to God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, He's in the prison at Rome without too much food, without too much heat probably, and comfort, not too much space, not too much freedom, but he still is thankful. And does that mean that you and I can be thankful in whatever our circumstances? Certainly can, because we're living and we have the Lord as our Savior if we're saved, and so it's important. Dr. Yoon, you had a comment there? Okay. So we give thanks to both the persons of the Godhead, God the Father, and of the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is, in addition to thanksgiving to Paul, what else is he doing with the Lord? Praying for whom?
For you.
How often?
Always.
Always. Very important. So he was interceding, wasn't he? Is it good to intercede for one another? The you, who do you think would be the you? The Christians of Colossae, the Colossian Christians, praying for you. When we pray for someone else, what are some of the things we can pray for? How do we go about that? Who is eligible to pray to God the Father in our Bible? Who's eligible?
Christians,
saved people. Can unsaved people, are they eligible to pray to the Father? Can they get through to the Father? Lost, hellbound? What is the only thing the Father wants to hear from them?
For forgiveness
and save me, Lord, save me and forgive me. I trust your Son as your Savior. And then there's the open door, and then we have access. But saved people. Now, let me ask you this. Do all saved people intercede for others? No, I don't think all of them do. Should they? Absolutely. They have an open door. We have access. And he says, pray for one another. And Paul said sometimes in his epistles, pray for me. He needed prayers as well. Not just praying for others, but pray for him. So praying always for you. He was concerned about the church at Colossae, and he wanted to pray for them always. Any other comments on the first three verses before we go on to verse 4 or 5? Yes, Tammy.
Well, I've already started looking at verse 4, but if we give thanks, as we go into verse 4, is he giving thanks for the church there in Colossae? Because it says he's praying for them, and then the next verse sort of makes it seem like perhaps that's one of the things they're giving thanks for.
All right. That's good. That's good. Yes, Jonathan.
He says God our Father. Well, he could have said God the Father.
All right.
He's talking about our Father, the Father of the brethren, the believer.
Saved people. That's right. Who is the God the Father father of? Who is God the Father father of?
The believers.
The believers, the saved people. What are the teachings of the liberalism and modernism say is the Father? The Father of all men. In fact, that hymn that I don't think is scriptural, O God and Father of all mankind. Remember that one? Our God and Father of mankind? Pardon me? Well, I don't know whether, I'm not sure whether it's in our hymnal or not, but God and Father of all mankind. I think we sang it one time at the Bible Presbyterian Church. I'm not sure recently in one of the meetings. I'm not really sure, but I think it's in their hymnal. I don't know whether it's in ours. Yes, Jonathan.
Doesn't the Bible say somewhere the God the Father of all flesh?
He's the creator of all flesh. I don't know that it says the Father. See, I think that's a relationship that's close and personal and familial. See, I don't think it's there. But now, in John 8:44, what does the Lord Jesus, he settles the matter in this way. Let's say it. John 8:44. Who's he speaking to here?
The Pharisees.
Let's say it. John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So there ye are of your father, the devil. So there's a fatherhood of the devil, Satan's father, children, and then the ones that are God's father, God the Father, of believers. All right, let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. All right, verse 4. He prays always for them since when? Since what? Okay, now if he says since we heard of your faith, what does that imply? This we've heard. What? How do you think Paul could hear of their faith?
Are those that came from that area visiting?
Maybe those that came from the area visiting, all right. How else might it have been?
By letter.
Could be by letter. So that's by letter. Or someone that came. So since he heard of the faith, they prayed for them. Faith in Christ Jesus. You think that was saving faith or just head faith? So I think it was saving faith. Is it possible to have a head faith but not a heart faith? Yes. People can recite all the creeds, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and be lost and bound for hell. I recited the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed in my Methodist church where my mom made me go as a little boy every single Sunday that I went to the church. Apostles' Creed, every single... But I was lost. As anybody, you know, can say a lot of things head-wise, but not the heart. Based, heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and heard of what else?
The love
which what? You had all the saints. So they had not only faith, but they had love for the saints. How many saints? Just the ones that are beautiful, handsome, rich? All saints. Now, apparently these Colossians had a Christianity that had not only faith in the Lord Jesus, but also a horizontal love for the saints that are born again. Is that Christian to have a love for the saints? Did the Lord Jesus ever teach anything about that?
Yeah.
What did he say about that? Love one another as I have loved you. What else did he say?
All men shall know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. Does that mean we have to agree with everything one another believes or does or probably no, but we love the brethren. That's taught it. And so here, the love for all the saints. Are there some saints that are a little easier to love than others?
Oh, yeah.
And are there some saints that are harder to love than others? But you see, to love all the saints, all alike. Some saints that are genuinely born again have different looks, they have different clothes, they have different appearances, they have different all kinds of things, but loving all the saints is important, is it not? And then, since we heard that, we prayed always for you. Then in verse number 5, we heard of your faith in Christ, love for the saints, and they had a hope. What hope do they have?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Where is that laid up?
In
heaven. Were the saints going to heaven? Are the saints, these saints presently in heaven? Yes, all the saints are in heaven. Genuine born again saints, that's their goal. What does it mean to have a hope in heaven? What's a hope? What does that mean? We know it's going to happen. It's genuine. It hasn't happened yet, but we're certain of it. That's what the hope, Christian hope, Elpis is the Greek word. It means something that's completely satisfied, but yet future. And it's not thinking, I hope I'm going to get a raise tomorrow. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it does rain. Whatever. We don't, but this is a firm hope. What does it say in Colossians 2, 13 and 14? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope, the rapture, that I think refers to the glorious appearing, that's the second phase of his coming to this earth. But the blessed hope, is that just a possibility or is that certain? That's absolutely certain. The Lord Jesus will one day come. Questions at bftbc.org or simply call us 856-261-9018 if you have a comment or question or just like to say hello to those that are here with us. So they have a hope laid up in heaven. What is heaven and where is it? What is heaven? Where is it?
There's three levels in heaven.
What is it?
Three levels.
The three levels. Name the three.
One first is the sky.
Right, the sky, the atmospheric heaven.
Right, then there's the stars.
The starry heaven.
We see, and then there's the third heaven, which we can't see.
Third heaven?
On that.
Okay, who's in the third heaven?
God.
God himself and all the saints that have yet gone. Now, where do we hear that there's a third heaven? Is that scriptural or just an idea? There's a book written called the seventh heaven. Is there anything in Scripture saying that the seventh heaven?
No.
They write a book about it. How do we have proof of the third heaven?
Second Corinthians, chapter 12.
Paul heard of a man caught up, probably Paul himself, under the third heaven. In fact, Dr. Louis Bray Schaefer, the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, my teacher for 4 years, before he died, he was writing a book. You know what the title was? Populating the Third Heaven. That was the title of it, Populating the Third Heaven. I don't know what it was about, but I mean, we heard about that, and that was his book. So,
the
hope, was it?
It's been released.
I never heard about it, and I don't know whether they ever finished it, whether they got part through, whether Dr. Walbert, nobody knows. Dr. Schaefer, Louis Barry Schaefer. So, the heaven is where God dwells, and there's a hope laid up. How would that, what does that understanding be there, laid up? Okay, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, for moth and rust and corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For the next verse says what? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so the laid up, in other words, it's laid up implies what?
Stored.
It's stored. It's there. There's a hope that's laid up and stored. It's put on, what do you call that when you go buy something?
Layaway.
Layaway. Now, will that layaway ever be snatched by someone else? Is there room for all saints or is that limited? Is there room for all saints in heaven?
Oh, yeah.
There's no limitation. And it's laid up meaning it's stored up. Stored up. Thesaurizo is the word. Treasure up. That's that word for laid up. Thesaurizo. It's a treasure up. Laid up for you in heaven. That's a renewal. Now, every saint has got something laid up in heaven. Every saint is going to heaven. When do they go to heaven?
When they die.
Spirit and soul go to heaven immediately. Or is it after they get prayed out of purgatory?
No.
Is there such a thing as purgatory in Scripture? No, there's no purgatory. But that's the Roman Catholic view, isn't it? But yet, on the other hand, they got the last pope that died directly into heaven. So I don't get that. My wife has always asked me the question, well, what about purgatory? I thought they had to go to purgatory and then pray them out. But apparently, they got them already in heaven. But laid up for you in heaven.
I don't know if they're the ones that decide.
Pardon me?
I'm not sure if they're the ones that decide.
Well, they certainly don't. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't decide who's in heaven, do they? There's no question about it. But they think. In fact, the people that have died recently, the performers, Michael Jackson, all these other people that died, these great people, they have their services and they're always in heaven. Whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they're always in heaven. Is it true that everyone's going to heaven? No. Who are the people that are going to heaven? Saved, born again, Christian, saved people, genuinely redeemed. And are some of your friends not going there? Some of your friends? Are some of your relatives not going there? We just hope and pray that the Lord would save them and make them born again and redeemed, but everybody's not going there. Even though people think that they are, they got the wrong heaven. The Bible's heaven. How do you get to the Father, according to John 14:6? Through Christ. Let's say it together. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way. And regardless of all these other ways that they say, all this way and that way, and many ways to heaven, the Lord Jesus, in the Bible's heaven, just one way is there. They can have their own heaven, their own nirvana, or happy hunting ground. They can have all the rules they want to get to their place. But the Bible's place, just one way. It's important, isn't it? And of course, as far as we're concerned, there's no other heaven in the whole universe. It's only God's heaven. But they want to say there are many others. Let them think that there are, and then end up where? Where will they end up? In hell, the lake of fire. I laid up for you in heaven. Now there's a hope. Now laid up. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? How do they get saved? How do they have this hope? According to verse number 5. What is it?
Hearing the gospel.
Hearing the gospel. They heard the truth of the gospel. Are there false gospels around?
Yes.
Yes, there are false gospels, aren't there?
Gnostic gospel.
What is it?
Gnostic gospels.
Gnostic gospels, false gospels. And what is it?
Apocrypha.
Apocrypha is a false gospel. But in the King James Bible 1611, did it have the Apocrypha?
Yes,
it did. And those who think the King James Bible is inerrant, infallible, and inspired of God, and God breathed with the Apocrypha, could God breathe out the Apocrypha, which is evil and wrong and false? See, this is the thing that's so wrong about this whole Ruckmanite and Ribbingerite, Mr. Ribbinger, all these other people that follow them. They're saying that God is responsible for every one of those things, Apocrypha as well, in the 1611. I wish they hadn't put it in there, but I guess the king wanted to put it in, so they put the thing in. At least they separated it between Malachi and Matthew as a unit. Roman Catholics had it mixed all in with other books, and so if you want to say, well, at least they had it straightened out. Anna.
We have a message from the Peace Garden State.
That's North Dakota?
Yeah.
Finally learned that. I'm learning something from Anna. Norma Carter. Go ahead, Norma.
Video and audio are clear. I'm really thankful for my new car. I will have to send some photos of it.
Good. Thank you, Norma. We're looking for the photos. And Norma, when they get the photo of the car, let them take you also. Photo, car, and everybody else to go with it. We'll see everybody. See? All right. Thank you, Norma. Appreciate that. All right. So, it says, by the way, they heard the word of the truth of the gospel. The many gospels. What are some of the gospels that are not truthful? So-called gospels that are not truthful.
Well, probably the worst one is that Lucifer or Satan is the real savior.
All right. That's the Gnostics teach. Lucifer is a savior, and he's not. That's a false gospel. Any other false gospel? How about the gospel of being saved by what works should you do? Is that a true gospel or false one? False, saved by work. Let's say Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So these things, the works are going. What are the gospels? How about baptismal gospels? What do people say about baptism?
Saved by baptism.
The Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians and maybe the Lutherans, they have this baby baptism, and that baptism, water baptism saves you. In fact, I heard just recently one of the people that died, there was a Catholic, I think it was a Kennedy funeral. He was saved at baptism. He was saved by being sprinkled. He's becoming. That's not it. That's not the way to go. Baptism, and the Christian, what are the name of the people? Disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ. They say, you can't be saved without being immersed in water. Water baptism saves you. All right. How about the thief on the cross? As far as we know, was he saved? And said, Lord, remember me. Was he ever baptized as far as you know? No. So, see, baptism is good in obedience to the Lord, but it's not essential to salvation. So there's lots of false gospels, but this is the truth of the gospel. What is the true gospel? First, what goes into the truth of the gospel?
Believe in your heart, not of Jesus Christ is the only way to have.
Believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, confidence, and realize you're what?
Sinner.
If you, what did the Lord Jesus say? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So the first requisite of knowing that you need health is to know you're sick. That's what the Lord was teaching him, all right? So we know we're sinners. Then we only, knowing we're sinners and lost and bound for hell, we accept and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Very important. So the truth of the gospel. Where do you find the gospel? Somebody's out in the boondocks. Where's he going to find the gospel? Where is she going to find the gospel?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. The Bible tells the story. What does gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. Evangelion. Good news. Good news. And there's your angel right there in that word. El and Angelos. Good news. Good message of good news. And that's what the angel said. I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And he was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So it was good news from heaven. The gospel, truth of the gospel. And then in verse number 6, what about this gospel, which has come unto you? What does that mean? The gospel that's come unto you. What does that mean?
You heard it.
You heard it. You heard it. It came to you. Do you listen to it? It was preached to you. Maybe by Paul. Who knows who preached it to them? As it is in all the world. Should the gospel be preached in all the world or just in the United States?
The whole world.
The whole world. What did the Lord Jesus say in the Great Commission? Go in into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's the commission. That's why we have our missionaries in all the world, and we have internet in all the world. We try to preach the gospel. If they click on this message, 59 foreign countries this last month, of the 8,400 that downloaded, then they will be able to hear the gospel wherever they are. See, these 59 countries, wherever they may be. The gospel in all the world is for all the world. Now, the hyper-Calvinists teach what about salvation?
Only for the elect to
be saved. And therefore, is it of interest too much to them to preach the gospel all over the world?
No.
Why? That's right.
Because you have to, according to the election, you're going to be saved anyway, so it's not necessary to send people over there.
So a lot of people that are hyper-Calvinist, they're dwarfed down, they're very small, and their outreach for missions, very, very small missions. Yeah, Anna?
Everybody,
because
you don't know who's going to be saved, so you just teach
that line. Yeah, you're right. There's some Abercalists that say we don't know who the elect are, so we go anyway. And they do have missions. I don't want to say they don't have missions, but it came to you as it is in all the world in verse number 6. And we're going to have to stop pretty soon here, but it says, and bringeth forth fruit. How can the gospel bring forth fruit? What are you talking about? What kind of fruit are you talking about here? That's one type of fruit. Believers multiply. Spiritual fruit. What's involved with fruit, spiritual fruit?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, it's a good growth. Fruit is the result of what? First, before you get fruit of anything,
you have to have a root.
And that has to be growth, the water and sun and
nourished.
And then all of a sudden there's fruit. There's a result of something. Does God want believers to be fruitful or fruitless?
Fruitful.
Fruitful, absolutely. These things I said, that you go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Lord Jesus said that. I've ordained you to go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. So he wants us to be fruitful. These people in Colossae brought forth fruit to this day, since the day he heard of it. Now, did Paul get fruit immediately, or did he wait 5 or 6 years before he started serving the Lord Jesus? Immediately. As soon as the Lord spoke to him, "Yea, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That was his question. And these Colossians, apparently the same way as Paul. You and I should be the same way. As soon as we hear the gospel, are saved and born again, what wilt thou have me to do? Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth, you had fruit. Immediately went to work and produced fruit for the Lord. I'm going to stop here at verse 6, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Questions at pftbc.org for those listening, or 856-261-9018, or comments or questions further on these verses, Colossians 1:1-6. All right, if not, let's close then in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for these Colossian Christians, saints, biblical saints, faithful brethren, sisters in the Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, that as soon as they heard the saving gospel of grace and opened their hearts and accepted it, they produced fruit in their lives. Paul heard about it. Lord, help us who are saved. If there be any who are not saved in our church this afternoon or listening by other means, may they come to Christ and be saved. But Lord, may we have others hear about our fruit for saved and born again, that we may produce fruits that's pleasing in Thy sight. And go with us and bless us in this new day, this new work, this new week rather, the new month that comes upon us. Keep us free, preaching Thy word everywhere we go. Bless each one that's here. Thou knowest our needs, those that are elsewhere. Guide us and direct us. We pray in Jesus' precious name for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you for coming.